The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. That is good. Jesus is Lord. Man, that song does not get old. Every time I hear it, I think about the words of that song. And really, the Lord used my wife help us to know to use that song for our theme song for Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. I had looked at all kinds of songs about faith and walking by faith, and they were all good songs, but they weren't the song. And one reason I know is come March, we'll have been on the air for 2 years. And that song, man, it's like fresh every time I hear it. God is so amazing, and he is the God of second chances. He's the God that will bring us through. He's the God that never quits. He never gives up on us, man. He loves you more than you love yourself. He loves you more than anybody in your life. Nobody cherishes you and loves you as much as your Heavenly Father. And even if you don't know him personally, even maybe if you've done things that would seemingly insult him and push him away from you, he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love, with loving kindness. He draws you to himself with mercy. He just loves you. He loves me. There's a song we sing in church. Oh, how he loves you and me. And just God's, his love is, it just melts your heart. It's so amazing. You have to experience his love. It's, you know, you try to explain love, and they write books about it and they sing songs about it, especially them good old country songs about the love and how much he loves me and all this kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, the love of God is like nothing you have ever experienced. Just thinking about it puts me to tears. He loves us more than you can possibly imagine. And he helps us more than we see and understand. He is always with us. He is just absolutely beyond amazing. One of my favorite scriptures is in Ephesians chapter 3. And it says that God would strengthen you with might by his Spirit in your inner man, in your spirit man, that you may be able to comprehend what is the height, the breadth, the length, the depth, that you might know the love of the Anointed One that passes knowledge. And one translation of those exact words from the original, it says that it's going to take all eternity to know how much he loves us, to know the fullness of who God is and who we are in him. And that's just the truth. And so if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling burned out, if you're feeling like COVID's never going to end, if you're feeling like, you know, whatever you're going through, maybe it's a divorce, maybe it's the loss of a family member, someone passed away, maybe it's financial distress, and you know, maybe you're dealing with a physical problem in your body, and it just feels like whatever you're dealing with, it's never going to end. Like this is just a hopeless situation. You need to lift up your eyes. You need to lift up and look to him, because, you know, God is love. That's who he is. And when you begin to get a revelation of who he is and his promises that he's given for your life, then all of a sudden you're understanding and your outlook becomes completely different. Sometimes, man, things, the darkness down here can just be overwhelming. It can feel like there's just a cloud sitting on you. Maybe you're having trouble sleeping. Maybe you're just having trouble putting one foot in front of the next. Maybe you're just feeling totally overwhelmed. That's not God's will. God's will is that you are totally free. God's will is that you are full of hope, that you are abounding. Romans 15, 13 says, abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's God's will for us. God doesn't want you depressed and down and mad and disgusted and busted and distressed and freaked out. No, man, he wants you full of peace and full of joy. The kingdom of God, Romans tells us, is not in food and drink. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And so we need to get our eyes on the reality, which is only found in the Word of God. Some people say, well, you know, you're a pastor and God talks to you. Well, God doesn't talk to me. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey. If you'll read the book, God will talk to you too. This book, man, is God talking to us. People say, well, God never talks to me. Well, have you read his book? How do you know he's not talking to you? The biggest problem is we don't know his language. You know, if somebody is talking like, you know, when I was in Texas, every other TV channel was Spanish. I lived in Texas for a year. My son was born in Texas. And, you know, all these channels are full of people just speaking Spanish. Well, and here I am in Toronto. When we go to Quebec, two-thirds of the channels are in French. Well, when I hear those languages in the background, I tune them out because I don't understand French. My wife does. She speaks fluently. She doesn't like it when I say that. She speaks fluently. My wife is brilliant. When those TV shows are going and stuff or commercials or whatever, and they're speaking language I don't understand, I just tune it out. So if it's Spanish or French or whatever, I just tune it out. Gary, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, for sure. I kind of have to do the same thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so the language, it's there. You can hear the words. The problem is you don't understand it. So because you don't understand it, you tune it out. You don't even listen. Well, God is speaking. Hebrews chapter 2, 3, and 4 says God is speaking all the time to us. And then the scripture says, if you will hear his voice while it is called today, don't harden your heart. God is speaking. Many times the problem is we're too busy doing everything else that we tune him out. And so what we need to do is we need to learn his language. Well, his language is the B-I-B-L-E. I'm holding it up for those of us on Facebook Live. And when you tune in to what he's saying, then when he speaks, you're going to recognize his language. You're going to recognize his voice. And so it's so important to understand that the Bible is God speaking to us. It's God talking to us. And so that's why, you know, as a believer, you need to spend time every day reading the Word of God. Open up the Bible, read the Word. You know, at Word of Faith Toronto, our home church here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, we read one chapter a day from the New Testament. And I'm holding up our bookmark. Monday through Friday, we read one chapter a day from the New Testament. And by the time the year is over, we will have read the entire New Testament. It's a really awesome plan. One chapter a day, it's only 5 days a week. And by the end of the year, you will have read the entire New Testament. And we're here in January now. So you're only 31 chapters behind. So go ahead and catch up, or just start where we are beginning tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be, is it February? Yeah, it'll be February 1st tomorrow. And we're in Matthew chapter 19. So you're only 19 chapters behind, actually, because we only did three chapters the first week of January. So start with us tomorrow with Matthew chapter 19, or just read chapters 1 to 19. It'll take you 45 minutes or so, and catch right up, and you can finish up that. But that's God speaking to us. His word is God speaking to us. We'd love to get you on board tonight. You can email us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. If you have a Bible question, a prayer request, if you have a testimony, if you're a first-time listener, I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email us. You can also get on the air. All you have to do is send us an email to instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. And just put in there Zoom, and Gary, our amazing anointed producer, will send you back a link to Zoom, and then you can come on the air with me live, praise God. But I'd love to hear from you tonight. We always get first-time listeners every single week, and we get between 40 and 70 new listeners. We had 41 new listeners last week, and we had listeners from Aruba, Brazil, England, Fiji, Iceland, Jamaica. We have faithful listeners in Jamaica. I love Jamaica. I've been dreaming about Jamaica. I can't wait to go back to Jamaica. As a matter of fact, if you're watching on Facebook right now, I'm about to put myself on the beach, praise God. And here I am on the beach. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Can you see me on the beach there, Gary?
It looks beautiful.
It looks like Jamaica.
It does.
I'm dreaming of going to... Yeah, man. I love Jamaica, man. Love me some Jamaicans, man.
It looks great.
Jamaica is an awesome, awesome island with awesome people. Praise God. So to all of my Jamaican friends, mi dea, mi chillin, man. Fiji, Iceland, Jamaica, Lima, Norway, Poland, Russia. I've got more and more listeners from Russia. That's awesome. Spain, Turkey. And then, of course, the United States is our number two listener. And then Canada is our number one. Oh, Canada. Praise God. Thank God for Canada. Thank God for the people of Canada. Thank you, Jesus. And our job here, for those of you that are first-time listeners tonight, is to feed your faith and starve your doubts. This is the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, where we speak Bible. We speak God's word. Praise God. Never believe the words of a preacher. If he or she cannot show you in the Bible, you're under no obligation to receive it. But, you know, as believers, we have to learn to chew the hay and spit the sticks. That's what a cow does. A cow chews its cud. And so it's got like four stomachs, and it's always chewing to get the good stuff out of it and to spit the bad stuff. That's called meditation, meditating the word of God. Never throw out the baby with the bathwater. There may be some preachers that are off. There may be some preachers that are false prophets. You're going to have all that kind of stuff. But the fact that there is a false prophet or someone who's not the real deal lets us know that there is the real deal, because a false prophet simply means someone who has copied the real thing. It's false. If there's a false, there has to be a real, praise God. And so never let the devil wear you out or make you feel discouraged or make you feel like there's nothing real out there. Man, I'm telling you, God is real and Jesus is coming soon. Let me give a shout out to some of the folks watching us on Spirit of Faith Talk Radio on Facebook Live. Hello, Sister Joan and Wendy, Yulette, Susanna Meningis, Todd, my brother. Boy, you've been tuning in to all of our stuff lately. Praise God. God bless you, brother. My sister Dory, Susan, praise God. Yulette, Veronica, my mother Judy, bless you, Mom. Let's see. Michelle Garth, God bless you. Veronica Jaskaran, bless you. Got two Veronicas on here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Shout out to Vince tonight. Shout out to everybody. Praise God. Awesome. Okay, so we got emails coming in already. Let's read our text and let's pray as we continue the show tonight. Love to hear from you. InStudio101@gmail.com. That's InStudio101@gmail.com. Prayer request, Bible question. Give us a shout. If you're a first-time listener, give us a shout. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and praise tonight. Thank you, Lord, for our radio listeners and all of those tuning in on Facebook Live. Father, we call each and every one blessed right now. Thank you, Father, for using this time to feed our faith, to starve our doubts. I pray, Father, that you will give exact utterance from heaven. We're believing you, Father, for answers tonight, for every person that's connected to be encouraged and lifted up in the name of Jesus. Thank you for real answers from your word, from your mouth. We give you glory for it and praise in advance in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement shouted amen. Amen. My amen corner is here tonight. He's usually at hockey on Sunday nights, and we're believing that things are going to be returning a little bit to normal soon in the name of Jesus. We had an awesome church service today, really blessed. And just the worship is so awesome. But there's like 10 of us in the building. We can't have worship services because of the COVID-19 lockdown here in Toronto and in all of Ontario. So it's interesting because instead of allowing worship, they allowed TV production. They can't shut Hollywood down because Hollywood's got too much money. So there's no limits on numbers to do recording and live presentation. So I can have my whole crew there. But my crew is over 10 people just to do a production, you know? So for them to say you can only have 10 people for a worship service is just ridiculous. But God is good. And this too shall pass. So don't let yourself get discouraged. Do not let yourself get discouraged. I'm going to say it again. Do not let yourself get discouraged. Praise God. In Christ, there is only encouragement. Keep your joy. Don't lose your joy. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read our text. And then I want to jump over to Ephesians. Our text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Praise God. The Passion says, "We having the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith." Well, yeah, that's how you got saved. You got saved by believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you said with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and that's how we got born again. Well, that faith to receive salvation is the same way that we receive everything from God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, you cannot please God. He that comes to God must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Praise God. And so you're not going to receive anything from God without faith. Now, we do see some examples, very, very few, of God answering prayers and moving in people's lives without that individual using their faith. But for the most part, even when Jesus came to blind Bartimaeus, what was the first question Jesus asked him? "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord." When the man whose child was dying, Jesus asked him, "Do you believe I can do this?" And he said, "Help my unbelief." Praise God. So faith is required to receive from God. God requires his children to use their faith. Praise the Lord. Here's a message from Sister Jan tonight. She says, "Indeed, we are not discouraged because Jesus is Lord." Brother Compton says, "I am also an adopted Jamaican backyard." Praise God. I think he's from Guyana. Praise Jesus. Amen. I got to praise God from Michelle Garth. Let's see, Zeliko. I'm guessing, let's see, Zeliko says, "Greetings from Serbia. We drive through the city and we listen to your station." Do you hear that, Gary?
In Serbia?
in Serbia.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Excellent. Thank
Praise
you.
Praise God, Zaliko. Father, we just pray for Zaliko and his family right now. We pray for them, Lord, that they will be strong in you and in the power of your might. Thank you for your blessing pouring out there in Serbia. Thank you for blessing these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. God bless you, Zaliko Milinkovic. Praise God. Veronica says, God is love and love never fails. Man, you are talking my language, girlfriend. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right, we got a bunch of emails coming in. Before we go there, let's go to Ephesians. And I want to read a little bit. I'm sorry, Philippians. Go to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. I want to read from the GW translation, which is the God's Word translation. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. I had a message today called No More Compromise. I feel like we only got through the introduction. Praise the Lord. I thought it was going to be a one-day message, but it looks like it'll probably be a three-part series, which happens as a pastor, which is okay. It's a good thing. The great thing about having a local church is that we keep getting fed what God has for us, and you can just hit the pause button and then come back the next week and get more of what God wants us to hear about this. And if he says go in a different direction, then we hit the pause button and we go on. But we're never going to say everything there is to say about every subject in the Word of God, because God's Word is inexhaustible. You cannot exhaust any area of the Word of God. If somebody says, I have 10 points on faith, well, yeah, those are 10 points, but those aren't the only 10 points. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is a living organism, just like the church is a living organism. Praise the Lord. So I'm reading here from Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, and we're reading in the God's Word translation. And it says this, brothers and sisters, imitate me. Pay attention to those who live by the example we have given you. How many have found out that not every Christian is an example for us to imitate? People that say they're Christians and say they love Jesus, some of these same people that say they love Jesus are the same ones that say, I love pizza. I love chili. I love fudge. Well, I mean, do you love Jesus the same way that you love pizza? And from their lifestyle, the answer would be yes. And so these are not folks that you want to imitate. These are not the ones that you want to pay attention to how they live, because that's not the way that we're supposed to live. Now, this is not a message to condemn people who love Jesus the same way they love pizza. It's a start. At least they do acknowledge that Jesus is alive and that he's raised from the dead, and they say they love him. But this is now, they're growing in their walk with Christ. You don't want to imitate every Christian. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why Paul says here, pay close attention to how I live and imitate me as an example of how to live. Paul lived a life that was consecrated and dedicated to the Lord Jesus. Verse 18, I have told you often, and now I tell you with tears in my eyes, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And why do they live like that? Because they compromise. They say one thing and do another. Now listen, we've all done that. And some of us still fall into that on a weekly basis, because we are still growing and we're falling into ditches and we mess up. But the good news is, Proverbs says a just man will mess up seven times, but he gets back up. In other words, we don't quit. So we don't live with our failures. We repent of our failures. And that is critical for maturity. That is critical for spiritual growth. What some people end up doing is they get worn out. And Satan says, you're too weak. You're always going to fall in this area. Just accept it. Just put up with your temper tantrums. Just put up with your hopelessness. Just put up with your drug addiction. Just put up with your alcohol problem. Just put up with your cigarette smoking. You know, you can still smoke cigarettes and go to heaven. It's okay. Just, you know, just tolerate it, put up with it. Even when the Bible says, don't defile the temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. Smoking cigarettes is defiling your temple. You can try to paint in any way you want, but when you are putting into your body something that everybody knows causes cancer, you're defiling your temple. And the scripture says, he that defiles the temple of God, him will I destroy. So if you continue down the road, I got one awesome person that I know who has struggled with this for years. Loves Jesus, loves God, goes to church, serves God's people, and yet struggled with cigarette smoking. But here's what he didn't do. He never quit trying to quit. And that's how we grow in the things of God. We never quit putting God first. We never quit doing the right thing. And now, not too long ago, within the last couple of years, totally free from nicotine, totally free from cigarettes. And so the thing is that even though we have issues, we need to, number one, recognize we have issues and understand that we need to do something about it. People think that God tolerates sin. God don't tolerate sin, it plain and simple. He is a holy God, and he said, be holy. For I am holy. As a Christian, God has called us to be holy. And holy means sanctified. Holy means set apart, which means that you cannot allow these things that you know are wrong to continue to infiltrate and contaminate your life. You've got to get rid of contaminants. And so the deal is you got to recognize that this is a contaminant. This is not right. This is wrong. And then begin to fight it. Never quit. Never stop fighting. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to quit fighting. He wants us to tolerate. Sin tolerated is faith contaminated. Sin tolerated is faith contaminated. And if you continue to contaminate your faith can come to a place where it's shipwrecked. Paul talks about that, and I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 1 or 2 Timothy chapter 1. You can make shipwreck of your faith by continuing to allow things that defile or contaminate your faith in your life. And if you stop quitting to fight, if you stop quitting to get rid of those things, then eventually your faith will become shipwrecked. And so that's why he says to us, fight. You hear me say it every week on this show. I've said it every week for however many weeks we've been on the air, almost 2 years. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't stop fighting the good fight of faith. He says in Galatians chapter 6, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, if we don't quit quitting. You got to stay on top. Stay on the word of God. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. I hear, be holy. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Amen is the truth. Let's keep reading. I'm in Philippians, the third chapter. We're reading from the GW translation. And in verse 19, let me back up. Verse 18, it says, I've told you often, and now I tell you with tears in my eyes, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Who is a person that would live as an enemy of the cross of Christ? Someone who's been taken captive by the devil. Someone who says, I'm a Christian, I know Jesus, and yet they still walk in sin. You cannot walk with Jesus and walk in sin at the same time. It's impossible. Doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. It doesn't mean you don't have issues. It doesn't mean that there's junk that doesn't need to get out of your life. But what it means is that you are fighting the good fight of faith. If you sin, you don't tolerate the sin, you repent. If you scream at your husband, you apologize, you repent before God that I was wrong. I let my emotions get the best of me. I'm sorry. And then you go to your husband and you apologize. And here's the deal. I told my congregation this today. Never ruin a perfectly good apology with an excuse. If you mess up, just eat crow. Take it like a man or a woman of God and own it. I messed up. Own it. That's called humility. And the Bible says that God giveth more grace. He gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. And so if you want more grace, if you want to please God, humility is required. The meek shall inherit the earth. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Praise God. We need to walk with God humbly. One of my favorite scriptures is Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I'm going to pull it up and I'm going to read it. It says, oh, this is the GW translation. It says, you mortals, the Lord has told you what is good. This is what the Lord requires from you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to live humbly with your God. Notice those three things, to love righteousness, to do what is right, to love mercy, which is covenant with God, the love of God. The word mercy is chesed, or it's the Greek equivalent is agape. It's the love of God. It's the covenant that we have with God. It's unconditional commitment. And to live humbly with your God. Humility is required to walk with God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Quick station identification. This is Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you have a prayer request, if you're a first-time listener, we had a gentleman just message us a few minutes ago from Serbia. How awesome is that? Praise God. So we'd love to hear from you wherever you are from. If you're from Russia or Israel, we get people all over the world. Shoot me a quick email. Give me a shout out from wherever you are. And don't forget to let me know where you're writing from. We love everybody. We love you from Iran. We love you from China. We love you wherever you are. And we thank God for you. We're all in this good fight together. Praise God. Let's keep reading. We're here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, 19 in the GW translation. It says, I told you with tears in my eyes that many live as enemies of the cross, and it's because of how they live. In the end, they will be destroyed. Now, if you're living as an enemy of the cross and you think that you're on the Lord's side, what a terrible place to be. What a place of total deception and a place of just total hopelessness. I mean, I can't even imagine going to church every week and doing all these religious things and then missing out on eternity. Man, that's just absolutely foolish. I posted on my Facebook page earlier today, and I'll post it also on Spirit of Faith Talk Radio page, a video from somebody sent it to me on WhatsApp today. It really touched me. And it was a woman, excuse me, who got in a car accident, and she thought she was going to die. And it literally changed her life. It caused her to realize that if she had died at that moment, that she would have gone to hell for all eternity. And it scared the hell out of her. And she realized that she was not ready to go to see Jesus. She was not ready to go and be with the Lord. And it was a wake-up call. And she said, I am not going to ever live like the way that I've been living again, because I don't know when it's going to be my time, but it could have been my time right then, and I would not have been ready. And so I'm going to share that video with you. I'm just putting it up now on my homepage, praise God. And so I just posted it on Spirit of Faith Talk Radio on Facebook. So you can check it out. It'll bless you. It really blessed me. Very, very powerful. I played it for Gary just before we started, and really, really touched me, I know. So praise God. Let's keep reading. I'm in Philippians chapter 3 in the GW translation. He says, in the end, they will be destroyed. Their own emotions are their God. Have you ever known Christians like that? That, you know, just allow themselves to have their emotions take over instead of letting the Word of God take over? The fruit of the Spirit is what is supposed to govern our emotions. And we see in Galatians 5:22, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, 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 goodness, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, faith. These are the nine fruit of the Spirit. And these fruit are to govern our soul, to govern our emotions, to so that we don't allow our emotions to get the best of us. So you get angry. Okay, be angry, but don't sin when you're angry. You get frustrated. Okay, you get frustrated, but don't put your fist through the wall when you're frustrated. And if you do, repent of it and begin to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Begin to grow. Listen, just because you put your fist through the wall doesn't mean that it's all over for you. And maybe you're somebody in jail. And maybe, you know, I'm hoping that this message will get into the jails and this radio show will get into the prisons, because this is a message of hope. This is a message where if no matter how bad things are in your life, no matter how bad you have jacked them up, God didn't do it, you did, no matter, and I've jacked my life up, but God, praise the Lord. I said, but God, no matter how low you may have sunk, there is a God who calls himself the God of hope, who will turn things around in your life. I don't care how bad things are. I don't care how bad things look. God is the God of all hope, and he'll turn it around. We need to get our eyes on him. Praise God. Colossians chapter 3 says, set your affection on things of above, not on things of this earth. One of the biggest reasons why people are depressed and so critical of everybody and just, you know, not able to control their emotions is because they're focused on the wrong thing. You got to refocus. You got to focus on Jesus, focus on his kingdom, focus on his word, focus on his Spirit, focus on the love of God, focus on our future, focus on what he's done for us, and get your eyes off all these other distractions. Satan is the ultimate distractor. He's the God of smoke and mirrors. He's always trying to get us to look at the wrong thing. Did you know the Bible calls him the God of this world? And he's got power in this world, and he'll constantly try to confuse us and get us down and get us depressed. But we need to lift up our eyes from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Praise God. Everything is going to be all right. God is turning things around. God is on your side. He loves you, and he's got a plan. God is in control. Praise God. He is sovereign, and he is working things out for our good. Praise God. We can never jack things up so much if we're trusting in him that there is not a place for restitution. He is the God who will turn things around. He's the God who will make the Red Sea dry so you can walk across it. He's the God that'll make water come out of the rock, manna from heaven. He'll give us everything that we need supernaturally if we will learn to walk by faith and learn to trust him. Praise God. I'm preaching better than you all are saying amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to some emails tonight. You can still email us. It's not too late. Just email instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you, I've been really paying attention to my chat tonight. Hello, Sarah Nicholson. God bless you. He is the only way. Dulari, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So, Phyllis, praise God. Bless you. If you want to give me a prayer request or an email on Facebook, I'm happy to take those as well. Let's go to our emails and see what we've got tonight. Just a couple emails, I think. Oh, no, I'm in the wrong email box. Oh, nope, got a whole bunch. But you can email us, instudio101@gmail.com. If you're a first-time listener, love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, Bible question, love to hear from you. I've also been telling folks I'm on the air now every Friday on TCT Television. Every Friday, TCT Television, there's a YouTube link that you can find that I also have posted on my Facebook page, Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. Every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on TCT Television, and you can watch it on YouTube from anywhere in the world. It's called Ask the Pastor, and I'm on with four other pastors, three panelists, and one host. And we answer your questions live on the air. So I'd love to have you join us on TCT Television. Praise God. Let's take our first email tonight. We have an email here from Las Vegas from our friend Jason. Jason says, hello, Pastor John and staff. I just wanted to say hello from Las Vegas, Nevada. I always enjoy your radio show. I have learned so much from your teachings. Thanks for the lessons. Praying for all of you and for many blessings during this COVID pandemic. Thanks, JJ. Thanks, JJ. We call my son John John, and my dad calls him JJ. Praise God. So good to hear from you tonight, Jason. And, you know, again, if you have any Bible questions or prayer requests, love to hear from you tonight. InStudio101@gmail.com. That's InStudio101@gmail.com. Call you blessed, Jason. Another email here tonight from our friend Tate. Tate says, Pastor, with all of this depression and isolation regarding COVID, I have been reading that the suicide numbers around the world have been up very much. What does the Bible say regarding suicide, if anything? Thank you. That's a great question, Tate. I was just reading yesterday about a young man in Michigan who was a huge hockey fan and very active in his high school. And since COVID started, he sunk into a depression and he killed himself. There's a lot more of that happening regularly. People are allowing depression to overcome them. First of all, I want to say that there's always hope. Suicide is never the answer. You're not the God of your life. You don't have the right to take your life. And especially as a Christian, we are to fight the good fight of faith, and we are not to love our lives even unto death. If you feel like you have to kill yourself, number one, you're listening to the lie of the devil. And number two, you love your life too much. You need to get your eyes off of how you feel and get your eyes on Jesus. And listen, I may make it sound right now like it's really easy. It's not. Depression is absolutely terrible. Depression can be overwhelming, paralyzing, debilitating. They call it a disease in the there's a psychiatric book, the DSM-V. It's a book of psychological disorders, and depression is a clinical diagnosis that is a debilitating disease. And there's all kinds of medicines to treat it. For some people, as a pastor, I would recommend they get medication, not for life, not forever. But when you tolerate depression for a long enough period of time, it changes the chemistry in your body. And there are certain medications, especially what they call serotonin reuptake inhibitors, that can help you get that feel-good serotonin and dopamine back into your system to help boost your mood and help you get through that. But you need to have a goal for therapy, for doing the Word of God, for getting into church, for worshiping God every day, and then getting off that medication. It should be temporary, praise God. But listen, if you're feeling depressed, you need to get help. Please understand that you cannot fight depression by yourself. You need help. There are therapists that are anointed by God to help you. There are Christian counselors out there. I teach at a university called Canada Christian University. I'm one of the associate professors, and there's a whole counseling program there. And they have we train counselors to minister the Word of God. They become licensed counselors to minister the Word of God and to help people in these times of depression. And there is no shame in your game by going to a counselor, by going to somebody to talk to. That is a good thing. And you need to do that. If you're feeling depressed and you're feeling overwhelmed, you need to go talk to somebody. You need to call your church. You need to get a referral for a counselor and go to a good Christian counselor who is going to teach you the Word of God. Now, I don't recommend secular therapy because They will only deal with the psyche. They'll only deal with the psychology, which is the study of the mind. The problem you're having with depression is not a mind issue. It's a spiritual issue. Satan is the one who depresses. Satan is the one who oppresses. Satan is the one who will put blinders on your eyes and put that spirit of heaviness on you. And so you need to understand your authority as a believer. You need to understand that it's not a psychological battle. It's a spiritual battle. Nevertheless, the psychological part is critically important because we understand as Christians that the first thing God told us to do is be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That is psychology. And yet it's a spiritual process because Ephesians tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And so renewing the mind is critically important, and it's understanding that it is a spiritual problem, and yet you must use your authority, which is spiritual, and you must renew your mind. Praise God. And so what does the Bible say about those that fall into deep depression and become suicidal? Well, the only example I can think of is the example of Judas. And Judas was a man who was on Jesus's staff, and he allowed greed to have get the best of him. And he was a thief, and he stole, and he lied, and he turned Jesus in for 50 pieces of silver. And as a result of that, he then felt very sorrowful. Now, the Bible says that godly sorrow works repentance, but worldly sorrow worketh death. Did you get that now? The Bible says godly sorrow works repentance. Godly sorrow is good. When you mess up, godly sorrow will say, I messed up. And then you repent of your sin, you confess your sin, God's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you get a brand new fresh start. But worldly sorrow is when you start feeling sorry for yourself. You start feeling like there's no hope. I messed up too many times. I fornicated 1,250 times. I did drugs for, you know, I've been repenting for 30 years and I just keep going back to it. And well, you know, people say, you know, God, I need a third chance. There's no third chances with God. Why? Because when you go to God and you truly repent, God wipes that sin away as far as the east is from the west, and you get a brand new start. If you fall again, the only person that remembered that you fell before is you, because God already forgave you and wiped it away. It's a first start. God gives you second chances every single time. But listen, you don't need a third and a fourth, because if you really repented, it is wiped away completely. But Judas fell into a very quick state of depression. The best movie I've seen to depict it is The Passion of the Christ. And we see that when Judas sinned against the Lord and sold him out for 50 pieces of silver, he became tormented by the devil. And Satan was just tormenting him. The Passion of the Christ shows you these demons that just torment him. And it's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18. He said that unless you forgive everyone from your heart, you'll be turned over to the tormentors until you pay everything. Well, listen, he did not forgive. He didn't forgive himself. He didn't ask for repentance. And so he's tormented and tormented. And what does he do? He goes to a field and he gets a rope and he hangs himself from a tree and he dies right there, kills himself. He gave up. Now people say, well, that was going to happen anyways, because the psalmist said that he's the son of perdition and that he was going to betray Jesus and then kill himself, and that his lot would then be given over to someone else. Well, that's true. But the scriptures were prophesying what he would do. It wasn't saying that this is what he had to do. It was prophesying, because God knows the beginning from the end. God is omniscient, which means God is all-knowing. God knew what he was going to do, but God didn't decide Judas is going to die and Judas is going to commit suicide. No, man, Judas made his own bed. Judas made his own choice. You and I make our own bed. You and I make our own choice. Nobody makes us do anything. God can't make you do anything, and the devil can't make you do anything. You make your own choices. Praise God. It's set before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. God tells you this. These are your choices, and this is what you need to choose to do. Now, what happened to Judas when he committed suicide? He went to hell. Why? Because man is appointed, Hebrews tells us, man is appointed once unto death and then the judgment. Now, many times people commit suicide by drug overdose, by sitting in the car and, you know, breathing in the fumes, and they come to a place where they're debilitated. They now are incapacitated and they can't do anything else. Maybe somebody hung themselves, and in that last breath, they said, "I'm sorry, God, forgive me." And God answers prayer. There's a lot of deathbed conversions. I'm convinced of it. I was a paramedic for 13 years. I know Gary was even longer than I am. I've seen a lot of deathbed conversions, but I've also seen a lot of, have you ever seen a deathbed conversion, Gary?
I have.
Yeah. I mean, I've been there, man. I've held people's hands when they're taking their last breaths, especially those that were bleeding out, you know, internal injuries. When people, you know, there's a trauma, when people, I'm trying to remember the name of it right now. But when you have a sudden stop, you know, for instance, you're on a motorcycle and all of a sudden you hit a car, and there's a sudden, it's called a deceleration injury. And that deceleration injury causes internal trauma where your organs can be pulled off from where they receive their vasculature. So your heart can be pulled off, your liver, whatever, and you begin to bleed out. And so they only have a few minutes to live. I've seen it. I had one scene I was on. It was a motor vehicle accident, two cars, and there were three kids in the one car, 17, 19, and 19. And on scene, the 19-year-old boy was sitting there, and he said, "What happened? Is everything okay? What's going on?" And we said, "We'll be right back. Hold on just a minute. We've got to check everybody." We get back. He was dead. He bled out. And in those moments, people have an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. I really encourage you to watch the video I posted on my Facebook page, Spirit of Faith Talk Radio on Facebook, Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. I just posted it a few minutes ago, and it talks about this young, pretty woman who was in a vehicle, got in a car accident, and literally her life flashed before her. And she knew at that moment she wasn't ready to die. And she repented. And I'm telling you, man, it's real. And she really repented, and God really heard and answered her prayer. Well, there are deathbed conversions when people are commit suicide or whatever, and they repent, and God hears and answers their prayer. But we don't know. We don't know what they're thinking in those moments. We don't know what's going on. Ultimately, none of us know enough to judge anybody to whether or not they're in heaven or hell. We just don't know. We know Judas is because the Bible tells us, but we don't have enough. You can't judge anybody whether they're in heaven or in hell. You really can't. Certainly you can say, well, you know, I have another example. I was telling Gary earlier, I won't give many details, but I was in an ambulance with this gentleman who I knew, and he was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. And he was in his early 50s. And I was sharing, now I knew him personally. He knew me. He knew I'm a Christian, knew that I was bold about my faith. And he asked for me. He called the dispatch and he asked if I would be the one to transport him. And I was transporting him from one hospital to another. He was trying to get a liver transplant. And I tried to lead him to the Lord in the ambulance. I said, you know, John or whatever his first name, John, Jesus loves you so much. And God has an eternal plan for your life. And it can begin right now if you'll accept his love, if you'll accept him into your heart. And he started cursing God. He started cussing God out. I don't need God, and I don't need him, and stop, you know, talking to me about him and all this kind of stuff. Rejected God right in his last moments. And he died the next morning. It would seem to me like he's in hell. And I would not comfort his family. in a home going, I would not try to comfort them by telling them what I know is not true. I would say, listen, I don't know where he is. He did not live his life for Jesus, but life is not over for you. Life is not over for me. And the most important thing you can do in your life is not what career you're going to have, not who you marry, not what country you live in. The most important thing you can do in your life is how you live your life before God, is the decision that you make about Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and there is no eternal life without Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So I hope that long answer answered your question, Tate. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Steve. Steve says, just saying hello from Athens, Georgia. Thanks. Well, God bless you, Steve. Georgia, man, you guys have been, I'm telling you, Georgia's been on everybody's mind. I've got Georgia on my mind. Georgia has been someplace in the politics last year, and praying for you guys and call you blessed tonight, Steve. Thanks for writing. Another email here tonight from Tammy. Tammy says, blessings to all of you. Pastor, when is the rapture going to occur in relation to the tribulation? Thank you for your answer. That is an awesome question. I love how you worded it, Tammy. Really good. So the Bible tells us exactly when it's going to happen in accordance with the second advent, which is the physical return of Christ. So let's talk about the series of events. The events that we know for sure is that the rapture is going to remove the children of God from being a partaker of the wrath of God, which is the 7-year tribulation period. So there are 7 years. There's exactly 1,260 days times two. So the rapture will take place, and then immediately the tribulation will begin, which is when the Antichrist will come on the scene. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that the Antichrist cannot come on the scene until he which letteth is taken out of the way. The church is the one that is restraining the Antichrist from coming on the scene. And so as soon as the rapture takes place, he will then come on the scene. 1,260 days will take place. During that period, the Antichrist will make a covenant, a treaty with Israel, and there will be peace and safety for 3.5 years. At the end of 3.5 years, Daniel's 70th week will kick in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, and it will be the abomination desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, when the Antichrist will say he is God, and then the children of Israel will flee into Judea for the remainder of the time. The two witnesses will be on the scene, and then 1,260 days will come and go, and the second advent will take place, which will be the Battle of Armageddon, and the church will return with the Lord Jesus Christ on horses at the Battle of Armageddon, and then Jesus will set up his throne. And then the next event is that the Father himself will come to the earth and help Jesus establish the beginning of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And the first thing that will happen is called the judgment of the sheep and the goat nations. And this is when the nations, it's determined whether or not they're sheep or goats. And all that is determined in Matthew chapter 25 based on how they treated the Jews. Praise God. So I hope that answers your question, and we call you blessed, Tammy, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Carla. Carla says, good evening. Thanks for the show tonight. It is some relief from the miseries of the world right now. Many thanks. Thank you, Carla. And let's join our faith together, Carla. Father, we pray for every believer right now. We pray for every person dealing with COVID. Father, we pray that you will fill them with joy and peace as their faith rises up. Encourage them, we pray tonight. And those that are dealing with suicide and depression, Father, we pray for them to be lifted out of that miry pit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Carla, call you blessed. Another email here tonight. Nobody's called me blessed tonight. I don't know what's going on, Gary.
I call you blessed.
I usually get at least a few of them. Carol says, hi, who or what is Abaddon or Apollyon? I do not understand this. That's a great question. So Abaddon, I believe, is the Greek word. Apollyon, I believe, is Aramaic. Don't quote me on that. I have to look it up. But it's another name for Satan. Satan is Abaddon, and it means the destroyer. And we find that in the book of Revelation. And I can find exactly. I've only got a minute left. But you can look it up. Let's see. I'll look it up for you real quick. Baden. Oh, doesn't have three D's. Baden. Boom, and we find it in. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 9, verse 11. It's Hebrew. Hebrew, not Aramaic, Hebrew. It says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. Revelation 9, 11. Thank you, Jesus. The angel of the bottomless pit. This angel, okay, so I'm wrong. It's not Satan himself. It's an angel. So I'm sorry I said that. I was wrong. It's this is an angel, one who is fallen and is now bound in the abyss. Now, Satan will also be cast into the abyss for 1,000 years. The Greek reads, angel out of the abyss. His name means destruction or destroyer. With these demons were created, and what their original responsibility and sin were is unknown. One thing is certain, all creatures were created sinless, but capable of moral failure. So remember, there are fallen angels and then there are demons. These are different classes of fallen beings. These are not the same. Demons don't have bodies. Fallen angels have bodies, praise God. They're just like Satan, whose name used to be Lucifer, and he is the head over all of them. Another email here. Thank you, Carol. I'll call you blessed. Can I have 2 more minutes, Gary?
Absolutely, Pastor.
You're awesome. Gary's the best, man. I'm telling you. If you ever get some extra money, send it to Gary in studio101@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Reality Radio, Susan. Susan says, a question for you, if you don't mind. What is or what is meant by the millennial kingdom? Awesome question. Millennium means 1,000. So the millennial kingdom or millennial reign of Christ, and there will be a millennial temple. It's found in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 22. You can read about the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 that we will be kings and priests with him, and we will reign with him for 1,000 years. That is the next major what's called dispensation on this earth. We're about to finish the dispensation called grace, and then we'll go into the millennial reign of Christ. And bring it up next week, Susan. This is one of my favorite subjects. I'd love to talk more about it, but I'm out of time. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Craig says, Pastor, what is actually happening at the final judgment? So there are three major final judgments, Craig. We have the judgment seat of Christ, where every Christian will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, in the Greek called Bema, B-E-M-A, and this is when we will receive our rewards. Then you have the judgment of the sheep and goat nations, which will take place, I just talked about it a few moments ago, at the end of the tribulation or the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, and this is a judgment of the nations based on how they treated the Jews during the tribulation. And then finally, you have the white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20 or 21. And the white throne judgment is when all the dead will be raised up, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire after they are judged. And this is called the second death. Praise God. Amen. Hope that answers your question. If not, write us back. We're here every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Last email of the night is from our friend David. Hello, Pastor John. I just wanted to say hello from Miami, Florida. I know that this is very cold in Toronto. Oh, it ain't that bad. Praise God. It's about, what, 13 degrees? Or is it colder than that, Gary?
I think it's colder than that.
Yeah, well, you know, we the North, we can handle it. Praise God. We got our Canada goose and our all of our wear, praise God. I know that it is cold up there in Toronto, as relatives living up there, and they told me so. Try to keep warm in the word, and of course, try to stay healthy. Thank you very much for your radio program. We love it down here, David. David, invite me to your church. I'd love to come to Miami, praise God. We can do our show from Miami too. Praise the Lord. We call y'all blessed tonight. Thank you, David. And once again, what a privilege it is to come into your homes every week. We love being with you. We love starving your doubt and feeding your faith. I love answering your questions. We're here for you every week. Check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com, spiritoffaithradio.com. Don't forget to check out Ask the Pastor every Friday at 4 p.m. on TCT Television. I'll post the link here in just a minute. Otherwise, until I see you next week, I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith. I see you do it again.
Thank you for listening to The Spirit of Faith with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.